amazing how the Lord works.
It's weird. The Lord's blessed, and I've had a lot of opportunities to preach. And since I got saved, and for some reason, I just had so much going on, and I was getting ready to preach tonight, and sitting over there in that pew, I mean, I felt like, for the first time in a long time, I felt like it was my first time preaching tonight. I mean, I just was nervous. I'm just nerved up. I don't know what it is. And I was like, Lord, just be with me. It's just me and you tonight. And then Pastor started talking about, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. And it's just like the Lord went right there and gave me some strength there. So I appreciate the Lord. And it's really not the preacher or anything that's up here. It's just the Lord if he works in it and if he uses it. So praise God for that. If you would, turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. I want to be a help to you tonight. This is a message the Lord gave me a couple weeks ago, and praying about it, and it's something I want to be a help to, and it's something that I really think the Christians are missing. And even though they know about it, and they know some of the verses that go with it, they're missing it. And in 2 Timothy chapter 4, we'll begin in verse 1, the Bible says this. Paul says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap for themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. And let's pray. Lord, I thank you for an opportunity to preach. And Lord, please, I don't know why, I just... I feel nervous tonight, Lord. I need to just set that to the side. And Lord, I just need you to be with me. I need to be the preacher now that you want me to be tonight, Lord. And Lord, I know I'm not worthy. I know, Lord, that I'm just a sinner up here, Lord, trying to preach your word. And it's almost funny, Lord, trying to do it. But Lord, you can be in it, and Lord, you can use it. And Lord, I just thank you for the opportunity to be able to preach tonight. And Lord, help me help people tonight. Lord, help me not just say what's on a paper or say what I've got prepared, but Lord, I want you to be in it. I want you to move in it, and I want you to help people just like you've been helping me. And Lord, I just thank you for your goodness. Help me be the preacher and preach the word that you need me to preach tonight, Lord. I need you. In your precious, most holy name, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen. I was going to take a little liberty tonight with a verse, and Paul says at the end of his, towards the end of his ministry, he says, in verse 6, chapter 4, verse 6, he says, for I'm now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. Paul knew he's getting ready to leave this world. He knew it wasn't much longer now, and he says something that I think a lot of people skip over. He says, for I am now ready to be offered. And I know he's talking about, he's ready, maybe he's ready to see the Lord. He's ready to do that. Now, I bet you a lot of people in here, if we knew the Lord was coming back tonight, you would not feel that you were ready to see the Lord. Some of you might, but some of you might say you're not. And you know what I think's missing in a lot of Christian lives and in churches is that Christians are not ready to be offered yet. And I thought about that. The Lord showed me that. And he said, the Lord asked me a question in my heart. And he says, are you ready to be offered? If I came back tonight, are you ready? You know what's weird about Christianity is a lot of times you know what you're supposed to do, you know what God wants you to do, and yet we put it off every day. Well, tomorrow I'm just going to get this done today, and then tomorrow I'm going to really live for God. Tomorrow I'll get it done. I just got to get, this is life, I got to get it done. And life goes on, you get older, and you never really offer yourself to God. Paul was ready. He knew it was almost time. You know, when pastors up here last week, reading about how the rapture is a fable in the world. They're making fun of it. You know, part of me gets angry and, I get upset about that, but another part of me says it's just almost time. It is almost time. We're almost out of here. And we ain't much longer. I keep telling my wife, we don't got much time left. But you know, when he comes, I mean, he's going to be, I want to be ready. And I want to say, Lord, I offer myself to you. And I'm taking a little liberty with that, and I want to ask you tonight if you're ready to be offered. God will not make you offer yourself. Do you know that? He wants a willing offering. If you would, flip over your Bibles to Exodus chapter 35. Exodus 35. You know, the Lord is not a Calvinist. He wants a willing offering. He's not going to make you do anything. You can do what you want. You just got to. I had when I was in high school, I went to a co-op program, and there was my teacher there. He taught us some computer-aided design there, and he was a lost man. I mean, I didn't know the Lord. He didn't know the Lord, but he said something kind of profound. He says, you can do anything you want in this world. You just got to be willing to suffer the consequences of what comes from it. That's the truth. You can do anything you want. You just got to suffer the consequences. Same thing with the Lord. You can do what you want, but you got to suffer the consequences. You have liberty in Christ, but not liberty to sin. Exodus chapter 35, look at verse 20. Now what's going on is they're trying to get all the things ready for the tabernacle and for the garments. And in Exodus chapter 35 and verse 20, the congregation is supposed to be bringing offerings to help with that. In 35:20 it says, "And all the congregation of the children of Israel departed from the presence of Moses, and they came, everyone whose heart stirred him up, and everyone whom his spirit made willing. And they brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle of the congregation, and for all his service, and for the holy garments." Look down to verse 29. "The children of Israel brought a willing offering unto the Lord, every man and woman whose heart made them willing to bring, for all manner of work which the Lord had commanded to be made by the hand of Moses." He didn't make them. They had to be willing. Are you willing? Now look at verse chapter 36. Look at verse 2. "And Moses called Bezalel and Eliab and every wise-hearted man in whose heart the Lord had put wisdom, even everyone whose heart stirred him up to come unto the work to do it." Does your heart stir up? You know when Christians get in trouble is when their heart's not stirred up anymore. And they're not willing anymore. It says in verse 7 that they brought so much stuff. It says, "For the stuff that they had was sufficient for all the work to make it, and too much." They brought so much, he says, "You can't bring no more. We can't handle all of it." You know what God wants you to do? He wants you to offer himself to him. Are you willing to offer yourself to God? Are you willing to put yourself down and give yourself to God? 1781, a young American patriot was on his way to be hanged by the British. He got caught by the British. And before he died, he said this, "Well, I'm sorry for Mary and the babies. I should have liked to live for my country. But if I have to die, I'll do it as a man and a Christian ought. I hope those who will be born 100 years after I'm gone will appreciate the price we had to pay to give them a home and a country." He's willing. You willing? You know why Christians are... You know why the power of God is not on Christians right now? Most Christians and most churches, the power of God, because Christians aren't willing. They don't want to offer themselves. "I'll give some, I won't give all. I'll give this, but I won't give that. God, you have to put up with this. I'll give you this. At least I'm giving you this." You need to give yourself. God wants a willing offering. And if you want God to put his hand upon you, and you want God to put his hand upon this church, Christians need to offer themselves. Are there any Christians left that are willing to be offered? Are there any left? I believe that the power of God is limited on Christians and on churches because of the lack of willingness to offer themselves. Now, I want to talk to you about, I just got 3 points. 3 quick points, we go home. But I want to talk about 3 things that I think a Christian has to be willing to offer. There's lots of things you can offer to God, but there are 3 things that I believe that that Christians don't want to offer. And if they offer it, God will put his hand upon it. And he'll bless you and he'll bless his church. And I want to talk to you about what it means to be offered. And the first thing I want to talk to you about offering is this. This is a tough one. This is not going to get me any brownie points, okay? First one is this. You need to be willing and ready to offer your pride. Turn to Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16. You know what destroys churches? Pride. You know what destroys a Christian life? Pride. We all have it. We all have it. I was joking with Brother Richardson Friday at the cookout. I was kind of making fun of Brother Chad because he was saying that, you know, all the, you know, he said we were winning, our team was winning in volleyball, and so Brother Chad was kind of giving everybody a hard time. He was just being funny, and he said, okay, well, the loser's over here, the winner's over here, and then the Lord humbled us, you know, and he made us lose two straight games, and we got knocked out. So I was making fun of him a little bit, and I was talking to Brother Richardson. I said, yeah, I said, you know, it's just pride. I said, I'm glad I'm humble. Brother Richardson says something like, yeah, you're a very humble man. I said, yeah, it almost astounds me how humble I am. That's probably why the Lord blesses me so much, you know, it's because I'm so humble. And he, like, you know, we're diving out of the way. He didn't want lightning to strike him. So, you know, but we all have it. We all have pride, you know. And Proverbs 16, verse 18, the Bible says this. Pride goeth before what? And a haughty spirit before a fall. You know, pride's just no good. In order for you to serve God, you got to put your pride down. You got to put it down. It's hard. You know, I had no idea how prideful I was until certain situations developed in my life and I realized how much pride I had in here. It's pride. With pride cometh contention, right? You know, there'd be no contention in this church at all. I'm not saying there is, but there'd be no contention in this church or beyond Christians if they just put down their pride. You need to offer your pride. Pride will destroy your walk with God. You know what? You got to put that pride down. God wants you to put that pride down. Sometimes God will put you in a situation where he'll make you put your pride down and see what you'll do with it. When I was associate pastor up north, I was up there and my pastor was sick and he was gone and they had meetings that night. So we had preachers in. And so he called me and said, you know, he says, brother, I'm sick. I'm not going to be able to make it. You got to, you know, run the church tonight. I'm like, okay. So I got there and everything went fine. And one of the speakers, if I told you his name, you know who he was. He came up to me and says, well, where's Pastor? I said, well, I said, he's not here tonight. I said, I'm going to, you know, kind of take over. He's like, oh. Okay. I was like, okay. And he just seemed really disappointed that, you know, the associate had to run the show. So I was like, okay. So everything went fine. I introduced him. He came up. He started preaching. Preached a pretty good message. And he's getting ready to close. Well, every night, what our pastor would do is what a lot of churches do. When he's getting ready to close, the pastor will come up here and he'll sit behind the preacher. And when he closes, he'll turn it over to the pastor to close the service. And anyway, he preached and he'd done that every night with our pastor. So he's getting ready to close the service or getting ready to close the sermon out. And so I come up behind him like normal and I come up and I sit up here and I sit down behind. I'm getting ready. When he's done, I'm going to close the service. And he gets done and he prays. And then he says, all right, he has a little bit of an altar call, and he gets done, and he knows it's time to close the service. And he does this. He turns around, and he looks at me, looks back, and he closes the service. Now you say, that's silliness. Yeah, it is silliness, but you know what? I was prideful. And I was like, and what it felt like to me, he was just disrespecting me as associate pastor. So I got really angry. I got mad. Now, I should have just said, all right, Lord, hey, that's your will. Just, all right, whatever. No big deal. I'm nobody. No big deal. But I did. I got prideful. I got mad. And I went out. I left the service. I didn't even speak to him. So mad. I left the church that night. The next day, my pastor was sick again. I had to come run the church again. I'm like, I remember I pulled off the side of the road before I got to church. And I said, Lord, I can't do this. I said, I'm so mad. I was just angry. And I said, Lord, I can't go to church like this. I'm angry. I know he's going to do the same thing to me again tonight. I said, I don't know what to do. I'm just going to get mad. You know what the Lord did? He started calming me down, but you know what verse he brought to my mind? It's a weird verse in this situation. He reminded me when Jacob was wrestling with the angel, and he said, what is your name? And he said, what is your name? Well, I'm Pastor Josh. I'm an associate pastor. What's your name? Josh. Yeah. Who are you? I'm a sinner. Yeah. And I realized, you know what? It's just by the grace of God that I get to do anything. And so be it. If he does it again, oh well. So I came in that night and I said, all right, Lord, I'm just going to put my pride down. I ain't nobody. He's getting ready to finish the sermon again that night. And I said, oh, man, I'm going to go up there and just embarrass myself. again, but I did. I walked up here, and I was like, all right, Lord, if you humble me, you humble me. I came over, and I sat down. He got done. He turned around. He looked at me again and said, it's all yours, preacher. And turned around and walked down. I got up and closed the service. He said, that's just silliness. That's the stuff that messes Christians up. Is that pride, because you think you're somebody when you're nobody. It's only by the grace of God you get to do anything for him. It's by the grace of God that I get to get up here and preach his word. He didn't call me to preach because he said, boy, there is a man of God. Look at that. Spirit all over him. He just, look at his talents. Look at his gifts. Look what I could do with this man. He is a special person. I'm going to call him to preach. Actually, in the contrary, God calls the foolish things of this world. He looks at me and he says, man, that guy is a disaster. He can't do nothing right. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to make him a preacher, and I'm going to get some glory out of him. And people are going to say, look at what he did with that guy. You know what you got to do? You got to put your pride down. You all got pride. Well, this is who my position in the church. You really want me to do that? You know? Do you know what I do here? Yeah. You know, could you go out and sweep off the porch? Well, yeah, go sweep off the porch. You want to go clean the bath? Clean the bathroom. Hey, some of the kids left some stuff over here. Can you go pick that up? Well, that's not my kids. Put your pride down. You know, God honors that. He said, what's your name, man? What is your name tonight? Who are you? Well, I'm so-and-so. Who are you? You're just a sinner. And by God's grace, you're here tonight. By God's grace, hopefully you're saved here tonight. It's by the grace of God. God hates pride. Turn to Proverbs chapter 16. Look at verse 16. God tells you, if I'm in the right verse here, Proverbs chapter 6. God tells you what thing, he says these six things that the Lord hate. Proverbs 6:16. These six things that the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination to him. What's the first one? Proud look. Now, I know this isn't popular, okay? I know this isn't fun, but you know what you need to do in order for God to put his hand upon you? You need to put down your pride. You need to say, you know what, Lord? Whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. Listen, what does it matter if you're up here behind the pulpit preaching, or if you're out there mowing the lawn? If you're doing what God wants, either way. Because if you're supposed to be out there doing something for God, but you're behind the pulpit, you're not in God's will. Okay? If you're behind the pulpit and you want to go to the mission field or do something else, and you're here, if it doesn't matter how great a calling you think you've got or what you want to do, if you're out of God's will, it means nothing. The thing Christians have a hard time grasping is whatever God wants you to do, from the greatest to the smallest, whatever he wants you to do, if you're doing what God wants, you're in his will and he's pleased with you. And you'll get the rewards by doing what he asked you to do. By offering your pride down and saying, you know what, I'm going to just do what God wants. Same thing at work. You go to work and you think you're somebody at work and you're too good to do something else. Well, I'm a supervisor. Well, I'm this. Doesn't it hurt you? I've seen some of the greatest men that are supervisors and leaders at works, places that I've worked, are the men that have an office with a desk, and I'll see them come out with a broom and sweep once in a while. I'll see them come out and do something and work with us, because that's something I respect. God hates pride. You know something? I'm not trying to brag on her. I'm not trying to take any reward away she's got, but you know something? The other day I was walking through my house, and I was upset about something. I don't remember what was going on. It was digging me a little bit, but I was going through the house, and I was kind of fussing. And I went up to the bathroom door, and I went to open it, and it was locked, you know. Now, I have one bathroom in my house. I have seven people living in my house, okay? And I get a little frustrated sometimes because the kids, you know, I'm telling you, I know they know when I'm going to the bathroom, when I'm going in for a day. They know it. They will be sitting there on the couch reading a book, and as soon as they see me go that way, they drop the book, they go running, run past you, go in the bathroom door, shut it. And so I got up there, I'm all aggravated, and I get in there, and I knock on the door, and I can't get in. I'm like, bang, 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 who's in there? No answer. Bang, 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 who's in there? And I'm all frustrated. My wife's like, well, I'm in here. I'm like, well, are you, you know, I'm trying to see if she needs me to stay out. She's like, no, you can come in. And she unlocks it. I'm like, why did you lock the door? Open the door. You know what my wife's doing? She's sitting there on the floor because we use cloth diapers because we don't have too much money to get. She's sitting there on the floor with a pail of dirty diapers, scrubbing them in the toilet. I walk in and went, and she'd shut the door because she didn't want anybody to smell anything. You know what occurred to my mind? You know what the Lord showed me? The Lord said, you know, your wife used to be a chemical engineer. Your wife could have had a great career. And she humbled herself, and now she's sitting on the floor washing dirty diapers. I thank God for that. I thank God for her. She teaches me so much stuff. When we get to heaven, the Lord's going to be like, he's going to bless her so much, I'm going to be over to the side. And I mean, she teaches me so much. You know what you need to do? You need to put your pride down. God will bless you for it. You need to put your pride and just offer it. Do you know where pride started? It started with the devil. Turn to Job chapter 41. Job 41. I'm just going to show you something real quick. Job 41. Now, if you look at chapter 41, you read through there. Look at verse 1. It says, canst thou draw out Leviathan with a hook, or his tongue with a cord, so let us down? And just read all down through there. Verse 12, I will not conceal his parts, nor his power, nor his comely proportion. Verse 15, his scales are his pride, shut up together with a close seal. Verse 19, out of his mouth go with burning lamps, and sparks of fire leap out. And you go down through all there, who's he talking about? Talking about the devil. So, look at verse 34. The devil, he beholdeth all high things. He is a king over all the children of pride. Now listen, the devil's a king. He tries to imitate Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is a king. Who is he the king over? He's the king over the children of pride. Who's your king? Now, I know this isn't popular, but I'm telling you, we need it. We need it. You need to put your pride down. You need to offer your pride on the altar. Then the Lord can start to move in your life and use you for something. But you know what you need to do first? You need to put that pride down and give it to God. You know what God is fed up with? God is fed up with prideful Christians. The Laodicean church is full of Christians that think they're somebody and they're nobody. That's why churches get all messed up, because everybody thinks they should be running things. Everybody thinks this is what I should be doing, instead of humbling themselves and putting their pride on the altar and saying, God, what do you want me to do? God's fed up with Christians that have pride. He's fed up with prideful Christians. He's fed up with prideful preachers. The Bible says, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he might exalt you in due time. Humble yourself. And you know what God will do? He'll do a funny thing. He'll lift you up. You humble yourself, he says, there's somebody I can use, and then he'll lift you up. But everybody wants to go up, right? But the way up is down. I've told you that before. A way up is down. Put your pride on that altar. Are you ready to offer your pride? Everybody here has got it, including me. Ready to put that pride down? You need to be ready to offer your pride. What else do you need to be ready to offer? You need to be ready to offer your will. You need to be ready to offer your will. Turn to Luke chapter 22. You guys know what verse I'm going to. Luke chapter 22. You need to offer your will. Now listen, this will help you. You put this stuff down, it's going to be a battle every day, but you put this stuff down, God will use you. You need to be ready to offer your will. Not only your pride, but your will. Everybody says they want to know the will of God. But do you? Read Luke chapter 22. Look at verse 39. And Jesus Christ is out praying before they're going to come get him to be crucified. In Luke chapter 22, verse 39, the Bible says this, and he, Jesus Christ, came out and went as he was wont to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed. saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. You know what that shows? That shows that Jesus Christ had a separate will different from his Father. You know, it wasn't the dying so much and the torture, it was him becoming sin that bothered him. You know, what would have happened if he would have followed his own will there? He gave up his will for the Father and for you. And God used it to save souls. He's still using it to save souls. You know what you need to be able to do, Christian? You need to be ready to offer your will to God. Even if your will is good, even if your will you think is a very spiritual thing, you know what you need to do? You need to be willing to put it on the altar and offer it to God and let God do as he sees fit. A lot of times there's differences between some Christians. Some Christians, they'd rather sit in the background and just kind of be quiet and just not say much and maybe not even do much for God, but they just want to sit there. And God wants to do something with them, but they're not willing to submit their will to him. And they'd rather just sit back. Do you know how many preachers are called that didn't want to preach? I did not want to preach. I had to fight it for a while. And God had to deal with me so I could preach. But there's people who don't want to be used. They'd rather just be in the background. They don't want God to use them, and God wants to use them, and he's trying to show them and open doors for them, but they won't go through them because they're afraid. They don't want to go in the will of God. They have their own will. And then you have the other side where people are just so zealous to do something for God, and they're going to go to the utmost parts of the earth to go for God. And God says, no, I want you right here. I want you to do this. And they don't want to do that either. They want to go their own way. You have to be willing on both sides to come to the middle and say, you know what, Lord, whatever you want me to do. If you want me to go, if you want me to stay, if you want me to be here, you want me to do this, you want me to do that, you want me to do this, I'll do it. And God will bless you for it. It doesn't matter. Sometimes the brethren, they put this pressure on you that you got to go do this or do that or you're not spiritual. Some of the most spiritual people are people that are just trying to be faithful to God. And rather than go out and make a mistake either way, doing nothing or trying to do too much, you're out of the will of God. So go through the doors God opens, but pray for his will and be willing to go there. You know, sometimes you get a preconceived notion in your head what God's will is for your life. And then you get disappointed because God doesn't fulfill it. But he has something else for you. You must give your will to God and let him do as he sees fit. Walter Knight told of an old Scottish woman who went from home to home across the countryside. She's selling thread, buttons, and shoestrings. When she came to an unmarked crossroad, she would toss a stick into the air and go in the direction the stick pointed when it landed. So wherever she came to a crossroad, she'd throw a stick in the air, wherever it landed, whatever direction, she'd go in that direction. One day, however, she was seen tossing the stick up several times. "Why do you toss a stick more than once?" someone asked. "Because," replied the woman, "it keeps pointing to the left, and I want to take the road to the right." Then she dutifully kept throwing the stick into the air until it pointed the way she wanted to go. Isn't that Christians for you? Lord, I'll do whatever you want. Okay, go this way. Well, I want to go this way. I mean, Lord, this is spiritual. I mean, what I want to do is spiritual. I want you to go this way. But Lord, there's no glory in that. Nobody's going to notice me if I go that way. I go this way, you know. People will think I'm spiritual. I want you to go that way. You willing? Are you willing to offer your will? It's tough, isn't it? It's tough. You willing to offer your will? You say, I want to do the will of God. Do you really? When he tells you to do something, when he opens a door and tells you to go one way or the other, do you go? Are you willing to do what he wants? Are you willing to go? Are you willing to stay? Are you willing to wait? Whatever he has for you, just do it. Be willing to offer your will. You have to follow your will to God or to God and follow him. Offer your will to God and follow him, not your ambitions. We all have ambitions. Like Pastor Chad was talking the other night, Dr. Ruckman said one of the greatest sins of preachers is your ambition. You have ambition. If you're honest with God, he will show you the way. Psalm 33, verse 8 and 9 says, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Be ye not as the horse or the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. God wants you to be willing to offer your will. You know, he's got good things intended for you. Yeah, there's always struggles. And there's always things along the way, but you know what? He's got good things intended for you. But you got to follow his will. Until you offer your will to God, you cannot be used like God wants to use you. You know something? When I was in Bible school, I wanted to be a missionary. I wanted to go to the mission field. And God said no. Pastor Mike's given testimony that he wanted to be an evangelist. And God said no. Pastor Chad and me have talked. When we were in Bible school, he wanted to be an evangelist. God said no, yet all three of us are here. Not because we're spiritual, but God has led us. You know what you have to do? You have to just put your will down and say, God, whatever. And Pastor Mike's a pretty awesome preacher, pretty awesome pastor. God's using him mightily. He's using Pastor Chad pretty mightily. If he would have went on the evangelist, went out and been an evangelist, would have been out of the will of God. Boy, brethren would have noticed him, though. He would have been out. They probably would have called him for meetings and said different things with him. Hey, can we have, you should hear this guy. I mean, he stomped on the pulpit all the time. I love it. But he sits there. Pastor Mike is, I look at him and I see, what I see sometimes, I see an evangelist. I see somebody who's going out and he's just fired up for God. But God says, you know what? I want him behind the pulpit leading a church. And he surrendered his will to God. And God's blessing him for it. Pastor Chad surrendered his will to God. And God's blessing him for it. You need to surrender your will to God, and God will bless you. No matter what you see and what you think you're fit for, God will use you, and he'll use you in a mighty way, maybe in a way that you've never thought about being used before. We all want to do things. We all have ambition. But we have to follow God's leading. Put down that ambition and just follow God. You know who was ambitious in the Bible? Peter. He's very ambitious. But you know what happened? He got out of the will of God. And you know what Paul, you know what Jesus said to him? He said, Peter, lovest thou me? Feed my sheep. Now, I know we use that as a pastor feeding the sheep, but I'm going to take a little bit of liberty with it. You know what you need to do? You need to help out the sheep. We're all sheep. And you know what you need is give your will to God so you can help this church grow and help you grow with the Lord. Surrender your will. Just surrender your will. You need to be ready to offer your will. Offer your will and follow God, and God will put his hand upon you and he'll use you. You need to be ready to offer your pride. You need to be ready to offer your will. Finally, this. Two for two so far. You guys seem pretty excited. So move on. We made it to the third point. All right? Amen. You have to be willing and ready to offer the success and recognition of this world. Turn to Luke chapter 14. Now, I want to be clear. That I wasn't making fun of Pastor when he stomped like this. I just like it. So I just, but I really want you to understand to be ready to offer the success and recognition of this world. Look at Luke chapter 14, verse 25. Jesus said some very profound verses here. And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Are you ready to offer the success and recognition of this world? Are you ready to put down the fact that maybe if you serve God your whole life, that you will never, ever be recognized? That maybe nobody will think you're great. You will never be on TV with a microphone. You will never be invited to a Bible conference to preach. Nobody will mention you in sermons. And you're just faithful doing what God wants. Are you ready to just offer that? Human nature wants recognition. Human nature wants. Are you willing to just do what God wants? Listen, this is easy for me to preach. It's hard to do. But are you willing to just be happy the fact that God is happy with you? Listen, if everybody in this church thinks you're great and God is upset with you, what does it matter? If God's happy with you and everybody in here doesn't like you or nobody talks to you and you feel like you're kind of an outcast all the time, but God's pleased with you and what you're doing, that's all that matters. Like I said, I know that's easy to preach, and it's hard because we're human. We want to be interactive with people and stuff. But I'm just saying, listen, if you know you're pleasing God, you can walk out that door at the end of church knowing, having a clear conscience, saying, I'm right with God. You need to offer and put down that success and recognition. Sometimes, you know, we think, well, I'm doing this, and pastor didn't mention me from the pulpit. He didn't say my name, or maybe you're doing this, and nobody at work recognized you, and you're always behind the scenes working, trying to get something done, and no one's recognized you. But you know what? People do notice you just because you haven't been recognized. They know to depend on you. And maybe other people are jumping around doing the dance, and they're getting recognized, and you're just back there being faithful and working. But let me tell you something. God's pleased with that because you're working toward as unto him, not unto men. You'd be ready to offer the success and recognition of the world. You know what that goes for? That goes for also the Christian brethren, not just the world. Who cares what the Christian brethren think if you're doing what God wants? People will criticize you. People will tear you apart. People will think you're not doing what God wants you to do. Now, I'm not talking about living in sin and saying, well, I don't care what the brethren think. There's a balance to that. I'm not saying go out and live in sin. I'm saying if you're doing what God wants and God says God's pleased with it, who cares what anybody else thinks? You just do what God wants you to do. Sometimes people base their spirituality and their walk with God based on what the brethren say. The brethren will say all sorts of things, and people love to sit afar off and judge what you're doing. But you just keep doing what God wants. I think the Lord's going to bless this church. I think he's going to bless it more and more. You know why? Because I think Pastor Reagan, I think he wants to walk with God, and he doesn't care so much about what the brethren think. I think that's evident so far. He's already tried to go where God wants him, not where people are telling him where to go, and God's blessed him for it. He's blessing this church. He's blessing people in this church because they're following God. You know, I think God wants to use Christians, but he can't because they're too worried about what the brethren think. I think he wants to use Christians, but he can't because they're too worried about what the world thinks. He wants to bless you. He wants to use you. He's got plans for everybody in here. But you can't get the power of God on your life until you sacrifice that success and recognition of this world. You have to be willing to say, you know what, I don't care. If no one notices me, I don't care. If no one ever recognizes me, I'm still going to go forward for God. And let me tell you something, if you do that and you're faithful and you follow God, you know what's going to happen? You're going to get to the judgment seat of Christ, and then God himself, Jesus Christ, will give you that recognition. Then it'll come out. You need to be willing to offer the success and recognition of the world. You have to follow God and throw the world and judgment of the brethren out. You know, I know a lot of people get funny about Dr. Ruckman, but I'm telling you, Dr. Ruckman, I love him to death. He was my teacher. You know, I learned a lot of things from him, not just about the Bible, but about the Christian life. And you know what I admire about Dr. Ruckman the most? He just doesn't care what anybody thinks. He just doesn't. I remember one time I was at school, and I was in my second year of school, and a pastor down there in Florida decided he took a verse. I'm not going to go into it right now, but he took a verse way out of context. And he went in and he questioned Dr. Ruckman about this verse. And Dr. Ruckman knew his intentions. He was just trying to stir up trouble. So Dr. Ruckman's real good about giving an answer. Very sarcastically, because he wants to get people fired up sometimes because he knows their heart intentions aren't right. So he said something back to this preacher, and this preacher's like, oh my goodness, Dr. Ruckman's a heretic. And he started going crazy, and this pastor went so crazy that he started printing stuff, trying to give it out to people and the students, and trying to get people to leave his church because he said Dr. Ruckman said this, and it was just a big mess. Well, anyway, I was a second-year student there, and I had a good friend of mine that actually encouraged me to go to PBI, who had gotten out of the will of God, and I didn't know it yet, but he got out of the will of God, and he was trying to get me to leave school because he got associated with this other pastor that was trying to get after Dr. Ruckman. And he would call me every day. He would call me every day. And I got worried about it. So one day I said, you know what? And it was just a big mess. And I thought, man, it's just a mess. So I thought, I got to go talk to Dr. Ruckman about it. I was scared to death to talk to Dr. Ruckman. The guy scares me. Okay, I don't know why. He just scares me. But I went over to his house. Pulled in the driveway. I knew I couldn't get it settled as I talked to him. Because I wanted to know the truth about what he thought about it. Because I knew what all these people were saying, but I wanted to hear what he said. I like to do that. When somebody's saying something, I like to go to that person and say, what's the real deal? And so I went up and I got up to his house. I got out of the car. And he had a gate right there. And it was really easy. You could just lift the latch and walk in the gate. So I started walking up to the gate, and he had two gigantic German shepherds. They were sitting right there, and they came walking out. I mean, they're just military dogs, man. They came out, sat like this, and looked at me. I knew if I opened that gate, I was a dead man. So I saw Dr. Ruckman in the window, and I said, I kind of yelled, Dr. Ruckman, Dr. Ruckman. He kind of looked around. I saw him look out the window, and then he came out on his porch. And I mean, he's just not, people think he's a preacher, that he's just always like mean and in a suit. He was in his overalls. He's in his bare feet. He comes walking out, he's munching on some peanuts. He comes out and says, yeah. I said, Dr. Ruckman, can I talk to you for a second? I'm one of your students at school. He's like, all right, come on in. So I came up and I got on his porch, and he sat down on his little porch swing there and started swinging on the porch. He's like, well, what's going on? I said, and I was nervous. I said, well, Dr. Ruckman, I know what they're saying about you, about this verse, and they're saying you're saying this, and this brother, he's trying to get me out of your school, and I just wanted to know what's going on. And I mean, to me, in my mind, and to the church, and a lot of people in the church, it was a big deal. It was a huge deal. And Dr. Ruckman was being called out on it. So I'm like, well, Dr. Ruckman, surely he's all about it. He understands what I'm talking about. So I explained the whole situation to him. And Dr. Ruckman was like, what? I said, well, and I explained the whole story. You know what they're saying about you about this, and they're saying this, and they're printing things about you and doing this? He's like, huh? I said, no, Doctor, they've been talking about it. You've been saying this, and that. He's like, I gave him a bunch of details. Finally, I got it down. He's like, oh, yeah, man, isn't that a riot? You believe that guy's crazy, man. The guy's crazy. He's nuts, man. And I sat there, and I gave him, he's like, oh. He's like, don't. He's like, whatever. He's like, remember what I taught you in school? And he reminded me of some things he taught me in school. And I was like, oh, yeah. He's like, all right. And you know what it was? It was just a peace. It was the Holy Spirit moving. He's like, all right. And I walked away from there, and I had peace in my heart. But what I'm trying to show to you is that he didn't care what the brethren thought. He just followed God. You know what, Dr. Ruckman, he once said that, he said people told him to quit. People talked him to quit. He says, I tried to quit 3 times, and the Lord wouldn't let me. He goes, maybe if you try to quit, man, the Lord take you up on it. But you know what, I sat there, and I felt peace in my heart, and you know what, I've always admired him for that. He's always didn't care what the brethren think. I've seen him deal with situations that me and myself, I would be going crazy, and he just doesn't worry about it. You know what, he just follows God. He doesn't care about success. He doesn't care about recognition. The reason I'm telling you that is because God blessed him in turn for just doing what he said. And God will do the same thing for you if you just drop it and quit trying to achieve with that world and following that carrot and following what the brethren tell you to do and doing this and this and just do what God wants you to do. You know what God will do? He'll bless you for it. Dr. Ruckman, he doesn't care about recognition. He runs from it. If you ever go to the church, he does not sit there and shake people's hands when he's done with church. He goes right to his office and shuts the door. I went up and met him for the first time. I said, hi, I'm Josh. Mm-hmm. He took that and just walked away. He doesn't care. Now, I'm not saying you got to be rude and crude. I'm just saying, don't worry about that. You got to put it on the altar and give it to God. Quit trying to achieve what the brethren tell you need to achieve. Quit trying to do what everybody's saying you need to be at. Quit trying to do what the world's telling you to do and just put it on the altar and be faithful and follow God and stay in the book and pray and do what God wants you to do, and he'll bless you for it. And I've seen it, he's given people recognition where they weren't even looking for it because he knows your heart. Do you want the power of God on you? You have to offer the success in recognition of this world. Listen, you know how many preachers in the past that served God, do you think they cared about recognition? They didn't care. They just wanted to get the word of God out. John Wesley, I believe it was John Wesley one time, got up there and went to preach one time, and he stood on this little monument thing or kind of a platform. And he got up there and he started street preaching. And he started street preaching up there, and the crowd was getting kind of crazy, and he's up there preaching, and a guy came up behind him with one of those old-fashioned guns and came up there, and he said, stop preaching or I'm going to shoot you. And John Wesley just kept preaching. He's like, Lord, help me. He says, if you don't stop preaching, I'm going to shoot you. And he kept preaching. The guy put the gun to his head and said, stop now. and he wouldn't stop. He's like, Lord, you know, either I'm going to be with you or whatever. The guy pulled the trigger. The thing backfired, hit the guy in the eye. The guy fell off there. He's all wounded. He fell down, and John Wesley just kept on preaching. You know what you need to do? Just trust God. Forget about the world. Forget about that stuff. Listen, we serve the greatest being in the universe, the creator of everything. What do you care what they think? What do you care what people are doing? What do you care what the brother down the road care about you? Just keep doing what God wants. As long as he's happy with you and pleased with you, he can take care of all things. He can take care of things that none of them can take care of. Just follow God. Just be faithful to Jesus Christ. You have to put the world and success and recognition down, and then God will use you. Turn to John 7:17. I'm almost done. Turn to John chapter 7, verse 17. I'm just asking, do you want God to bless you? Do you want God to put his hand upon you? Do you want God to use you? I was talking with a pastor the other day, and we were talking, and he said, you know, it's amazing how many people that God used that were just trying to work and be faithful. They weren't big people. God just pulled them up. You know what God's going to use? He's going to use somebody in here who's just working, who's just doing something for him. They may not be up here behind the pulpit. They may not come up here and sing. They may not be doing, but they're just trying to serve God the best way they know how. And they're back there just doing. And God says, you know, I'm going to use you and he'll pull you up. You know what Paul was doing when God called him? He was working. He just sitting there doing what God wanted him to do. He wasn't doing evangelism. He just sitting there doing what God wanted. God pulled him up, said, I'm going to use that guy. God wants you to work and put everything else down. John 7:17 says this. As Jesus Christ says, if any man will do his will, God's will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory. Yeah, people like to talk about themselves a lot. But he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true. And no unrighteousness is in him. Who are you talking about? That's convicting to me. I like to talk about the Lord, but you know, it just convicted me how many times I could have brought the Lord up and I didn't. It's weird how often Christians talk about themselves or even others, but they won't talk about God. You'll talk about LeBron James, won't you? You know? Talk about the World Cup. And that's fine. I'm not saying, I'm just saying, do you bring God up? If any man do his will, he shall know the doctrine. But it says that he that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory. But he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. Turn to one more verse, 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. You know what you need to do? You need to put some things on the altar. It's not easy, you know. I know some of you are saying, well, this is kind of a tough message. It's not easy for me to preach. I mean, I had to put this together, and God just smacked me every point. I was like, oh, can I preach something where people will be running around? I mean, Lord, they're not going to like this. He's like, I don't like this. And the Lord's like, well, just preach what I tell you to preach. 1 Peter chapter 2, look at verse 24. 1 Peter chapter 2, I think, let me make sure I'm in the right verse. 1 Peter chapter 2, I think it was 2 Peter, excuse me, chapter 2. I can't remember where it was. I'm looking for it. Second, give a second, then we'll move on. 1 Peter 22. It was a good one, though. 2 Peter. But basically, what I want you to realize is that God's will, if you speak of him, you're seeking the glory of him. You know what you need to do, Christian, tonight? You need to put some things on the altar. You need to be willing to offer your pride. Pride is an awful thing, and it busts up churches, and it busts up ministries, and it busts up your walk with God because of pride, because somebody said something to you that you thought wasn't appropriate. Listen, have some grace with the brethren. I understand people make you mad. I understand people say things. But you know what I found out 90% of the time? Is when somebody says something that I think was hurtful, they don't even know about it. They didn't even realize they hurt you. And you'll go home and you'll get in your car and you'll drive home all mad and that person has no idea they even hurt you. You know what? You know what you got to do? Esteem each other better than yourself. That's hard to do, isn't it? Just say, you know what, Lord? They're probably better than me. I'll just try to stay right with you. You need to offer your will. Don't throw the stick up in the air until it goes the way you want it to go. Let's go where God wants you. You need to be ready to offer the success and recognition of this world. Just give it up. And God will put his hand on you. You know what Jesus Christ did? You don't have to turn there. I'll turn there for you. John chapter 8, verse 50. He didn't seek his own glory. John chapter 8, verse 50, the Bible says this. And I, Jesus Christ, seek not mine own glory. There is one that seeketh and judgeth. Jesus Christ came to seek the glory of the Father, not himself. We already read in Luke chapter 22, he sought not his own will. And he had no unrighteous pride. You know that? How do you know that? Turn to Matthew chapter 27. Now, if anyone had a reason to boast, surely it would be the Son of God. Surely it would be Jesus Christ. And this really is. I'm going to read you one more verse after that, so I'm going to quit lying to you. Matthew chapter 27, verse 41. They got Jesus Christ on the cross. They're crucifying him. In Matthew 27, verse 41, the Bible says, likewise also the chief priests mocking him with the scribes and elders said, he saved others. Himself he cannot save. If he be the king of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now, if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. The thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth. He's sitting up there on the cross, the Son of God. He could have destroyed the whole world with one word. And he's up there, just beat up, looking down, and they're up there mocking him. Now, if that had been you or me, I know it was me, I probably would have said a word because of my pride. He's up there looking down, and these people are mocking him and spitting on him, and he's looking down at them. He's, Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And he died for you. You want to be like the Lord? Got to put some things on the altar. It's not easy. Imagine what God will do with you right now. Right now, if you just keep going the course you're going, right now, God can still use you, and God will use you. You just keep going on the course, and you'll meet an expected end. But just think about this for a second. What if you offered yourself completely to the Lord tonight? What would the end of that be? We're running out of time. We might not have tomorrow. He's coming back anytime now. I mean, are you guys not seeing? Do you not, you know, we're children of the day, you know? We see it. You know the times and the seasons. I mean, it's almost time. Are you going to put it off till tomorrow? Don't you want to be right with him when he comes back? So many Christians want to do something for God. So many Christians want to give themselves to God, but they never do it. What can God do with you if you offer yourself to him? Finally, this. Turn about 2 Timothy chapter 4. Back where we started, and I'm done. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Second Timothy chapter 4. Start in verse 5. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, to the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry, for I am now ready to be offered. And the time of my departure is at hand. Christian, I want to ask you tonight. You ready to be offered? I know it's scary to put all that stuff down, but think about this. What can God do with you if you offered yourself? I know it's a constant battle, but tonight, it can end tonight, and you can start by giving yourself to God. Are you ready to be offered? With God's help, you can. Let's pray. Lord,